Hello and welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. I'm Kathy Love. I started life as an OT, had an amazing, crazy private practice which I sold. And what I do now is help allied health business owners create a business that serves them, the time, the money, the joy that they absolutely deserve. And this is where my idea for the podcast started. What I want to do is to capture how hard allied health business owners in Australia work to achieve their dreams, to support their teams, to create amazing outcomes for their clients. So sit back, beverage of choice, drive safely, walk carefully, however you're listening in, and I hope you absolutely enjoy. Witten is in front of me on the Zoom screen and is today's podcast guest. Welcome, welcome.
Thanks, Kathy. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure, pleasure. We just got to banish the nerves first and foremost.
Yeah, sounds good.
So, occupational therapist extraordinaire, business owner extraordinaire. Do you introduce yourself as the director of Focus on Function or something else?
No, I don't. I want to. I'm going to be brave enough one day to do that. But no, if people ask me what I do, I just introduce myself as an occupational therapist.
It's very telling because I phone a lot of people and I'm intrigued at people's voice messages.
Yes. So
I know who they are when they phone. And just like you, they may be the director of an amazing growing business. And their voice message is probably years old. I think mine's probably a bit dusty. And they're an occupational therapist. And
yes. Yep. So my badge says occupational therapist.
Does it?
It does. It does. Well, I suppose when I'm out in the world seeing clients, that's what I am. But yeah, no, I have heard other podcast guests talk about this transition of changing how you introduce yourself. And I just haven't got there yet, but it's in the processing of my head. And I've, you know, listened to other business owners talk and thought, yes, I really should do that. But at this stage in business development, I'm still introducing myself as an occupational therapist.
Yeah. We'll talk a bit about how you're using your time because you're getting phenomenal things done. Tell us about the Focus on Function team right now, right? February 2022. What does it look like?
Yep. So there's seven of us. So five OTs, that's including me. Here I am again. So five OTs, and then there's a practice manager who's on her third day today. So she's very new to the team. And then there's one customer services officer.
What's that like? You need a pretty big meeting table nowadays.
Yeah, it's good. It's good fun. The team's great value and we all seem to get along quite well. And, it's good fun.
And what did the business look like 12, 13 months ago?
So in January 2021, I kind of had the idea of I basically was working really hard as a sole trader and I thought I either need to go big or wind this back big time. So I just texted a few friends who were OTs and a wonderful OTs who I've thought highly of for a long time and said, do you want to have a go at doing some work for me, basically. That's how it went. And they said, yep. And we agreed to maybe a couple of referrals a month. I think a couple of referrals a fortnight was another one. And then I asked our admin support, would she do a couple of hours a week for admin support? And it just rapidly grew from there. The admin support's doing about 20 hours a week now. And the OT, the clinical team's grown significantly. And those casual OTs that were doing 2 to 3 referrals, that never happened. No one ever got 2 to 3 referrals. There was a big waiting list. So I don't know what I was thinking. So the growth has been rapid and exciting and tiring and long nights and hard work, but lots of fun. I have really, really loved it, but definitely have probably worked the hardest I've ever worked in my whole life to get things where they are now.
I think I know your comment about recruitment by text has probably not been lost on anybody's ears because the way you've recruited has been spectacular. People are now coming to you. and you've got people in the wings. So we perhaps need to describe where you are and who your clients are to really kind of understand how cool that is.
Yeah, yep. So we're based in rural New South Wales. The hub of Focus on Function is in Gunnedah, which is about an hour north of Tamworth. And we cover Tamworth, Gunnedah and Narrabri. So Gunnedah is based in the middle and we go about 100 k's kind of circumference around the countryside, about 100 k's around. We serve adults with a variety of disabilities, from physical to neurological, psychosocial, cognitive, lots of different types of limitations. And we work under four main funding bodies, the NDIS, CTP, iCare and Workers' Comp.
So occupational therapists, they're not super, super thick on the ground, but there does seem to be a little bit of movement and people wanting something different from the health system or whatever other systems they're in.
Yeah, yep. I think maybe in rural New South Wales, in my experience, there hasn't been many opportunities for adult caseload OTs other than public health or health-wise, like the Division of General Practice kind of federal funded services. So this is, we provide an opportunity for OTs who love working with adults to come on board with the private practice ride. So that's been exciting. And, yeah, I have been very fortunate to attract some incredible therapists who are amazing at their job, and they seem to keep attracting more incredible therapists. So it's wonderful.
What do you think it is about OTs wanting to kind of change roles and work for smaller and emerging businesses? What are your thoughts? Like when you're at the bottom of that glass of wine, what do you reckon it's about?
Yeah, that's happened more than once. I think
it's a glass, not bottle.
Yeah, that's right. Either way, I'm okay. I think it's about you know, having a great idea and being able to implement it. And we just implement it. We just, yep, that's a great idea. Let's create a system. Let's create a template. Let's do it. And let's, whereas in big systems like public health, that's kind of quite difficult to do, and maybe you don't feel as well supported. So it's that creativity, it's the flexibility, it's, you know, embracing change and going with it. So I think that's been, and the flexible work practices as well, you know, if you need a fidget three every Tuesday because of family commitments, that's, you know, we can work around that. That's fine.
Yeah. I think it's part of just wanting a little bit more change and sometimes wanting more meaningful work or work that kind of works around lifestyle as well and sort of out of the committees and the meetings and, you know, back to the future of kind of doing your craft and making a difference that you can see and kind of feel.
And I'm really, I suppose with your support as well, really focused, like a very positive culture of being proud of what we do, and we do great work. And yes, there's lots of head banging moments and there's lots of frustrations, but we debrief and we move on and we focus on the awesome things that we do and the amazing impact we have on the participants and the families and the community. And I think that culture is, well, anyway, the culture is really important to me, and maybe that's what people are seeking as well.
It's just that direct line of sight, that direct line of impact, that shortest route through to improving someone's life. I think, you know, work's important, but it needs to kind of make a difference as well.
Yeah. Yep. And most of us therapists lined up to make a difference in people's lives. We didn't go in this field for, basically that's what we wanted to do. So I'm really keen on, you know, keeping all of our business processes with that vision of this is, let's make good service provisions so we can have the most impact in people's lives.
So you spoke earlier of a pretty steep 12 months.
Aged rapidly. But anyway.
Have you aged rapidly?
Oh. Yeah, I don't know.
What was it about those 12 months that was challenging / a little bit exciting? What was it?
Absolutely everything.
Okay, yeah. We'll just pull everything apart there.
Yep. My The best way I explain it to anybody is I completely underestimated every single aspect of this. And I'm really open about that. And now I just accept it because that's just, we could talk about from the little things to the big things, from recruitment to finding an office to like everything has taken longer and has been a more of a challenge than I originally anticipated. But in saying that, I've loved the challenge and really thought I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it well, and I'm going to do it the right way. And I've underestimated every single aspect. I've underestimated the time it's taken to reduce my clinical load. That's been a big impact on my workload. Everything's been a challenge. And there's been blood, sweat and tears and wine. There's been all of those things. But I have 90% of the time absolutely loved it. Thought, yes, I want to do this. I'm going to do it and do it the best I can.
So, oh, it's just that toxic 10%.
Yeah. That's okay. If you're not challenged and pushed, you don't kind of develop and go forward with it. Yeah.
And you're kind of pretty focused and quick and decisive. I'll take out the pretty. You're very focused, quick and decisive. And so it then trips into frustrating that, 12 properties later, why isn't there a such and such that I can kind of step into? And and so I think as OTs, we're particularly good at just unpacking the project and seeing all of the parts. And we think about how long it would take us to do it. And then there's all the other humans and their geography and the weather and the rest of it. We sort of don't factor the environment into our well-laid plans that we've got in front of us.
That's right. That's right. Yes. Need to follow the system and get the job done. Yeah. But sometimes there's things that impact that.
Yeah. You build in a ton of systems. So let's maybe start with some of your HR and your people systems. So from the get-go, you were very, very determined to get it correct and learn all of that. So what were your kind of early steps with that?
So I think you suggested the Systemology book to me.
Yes.
So I bought that. The instant when you suggested it, I just bought it online at that
moment. You get it like 48 hours later.
Yep.
I don't know how they do it.
Like and I downloaded the podcast, Systemology podcast. So I'd listened to ideas of how people would do things while I was, folding washing or ironing some uniforms and that kind of stuff. And then I just started doing it. Like I really liked the philosophy of it doesn't need to be perfect or, how you want to finish it. Just start documenting it. Yeah. So I just said to the team, said to the customer support, can you document how you intake a referral? Write a recipe. And I just found the word recipe really worked well with my team.
Yeah.
And it's like cooking a cake. You don't have to do it the exact same way every single time. But if someone else needs to do intake, they've got some steps to follow. So I suppose HR recruitment, I've kind of got a documented system or a checklist or a bit of a flow chart or a recipe on how we do things. And those things is just never going to be finished. We're always going to be trying to improve them and update them.
I get a little alarmed when I hear all our systems are done and finished. I'm going, oh gosh, I'm going to be out of date within 3 months.
Yep. And I think you just have to go, yep, this is never going to be finished
it's a forever task.
Yes. And always trying to improve things. It's just never finished. But just make a start and get them documented. And as they come up as well, we've got a team member going on maternity leave. So handing over clients to another participants to another OT. So I just got her to document that. So how do you change what changes need to be made on the case management software system and timeframes and all that kind of stuff. So we didn't worry about that system until we needed to do it.
Yeah.
And that's just worked well.
Context is everything for that sort of stuff. And as it comes up, you just kind of pull it apart. Put it back together in a good order, do some training videos and you're kind of good to go. So you kind of, I don't know if I'm putting words into your mouth, but are you starting to shift the whole team towards a systems thinking team?
Yeah, I get teased a little bit in the team about systems.
Are you really? That's me. That's harassment.
All lighthearted. No, because we will think of something. For example, the priority tool we were talking about the other day. Yeah. And I said, well, we need a system. And everyone had a little giggle. But they all agree. They love it.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit nervous with extremely experienced, very clever clinicians kind of saying, oh, this is how we're going to do it. But they really embraced it and loved the direction and loved the clear communication about what was required, when it was required, what template we're going to use. And it was all done very collaboratively. And, you know, this is never going to be finished. We're always, you know, come with any great idea at any time and we'll update it. And I really respond to that. If they say, oh, the template's missing this, Lou, I just do it. I'm like, yep, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Or we work together on how we're going to add that. So, the team have embraced it. We're all pretty, lighthearted, and there's a few jokes about how I create a system for everything. but I do. Yeah,
wear that badge of honour.
Yes.
I know you're a few months into this. Are you getting a sense of the benefits of having all these systems on the roll?
Yes. Slowly. It's slow. Yeah. It's a lot of hard work and a slow benefit, but it's coming through. It's kind of like the templates, which are a form of a system, I suppose, for our reports. I'm seeing a lot of benefit from that because there's such clear direction when new therapists come on board of what's required from that assessment and what the funding body needs to hear to get this for this person. So, yes, it is, but it was a lot of hard slog. And then the benefits are slowly rolling in. Yeah. But those benefits will continue forever. It definitely wasn't an immediate benefit.
Yeah. I guess we can kind of predict that you'll be asked less questions or there'll be less, if you've got 10 minutes, can I just check something off with you? You know, there'll be less of those doorstop chats.
Yeah, and that's a part of the aim of setting up a business that will run really well and not dependent on me.
Yeah.
The next step is how to store and how to easily find all these wonderful documented systems.
And how they kind of arrive in day-to-day workflows as well.
Yes. Yeah.
That is the next phase. That's good. That's good fun.
Yeah.
A bit more technology in your future.
Yes. Yeah.
And then what about your wonderful, wonderful team? If we go back to 2021, you know, you just had people joining constantly. What time did you learn about HR? And I'm just going to say position descriptions. I don't want to upset you, but
I'm okay.
Learn about all of that. You're okay? Okay.
Yeah.
Good morning. What did you learn about all of that?
Oh, everything. Yeah, absolutely everything. That goes well within the theme of underestimating factors of business. So I think the first position description I wrote took me, I don't know, a long time.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the hours. And I had a lot of input from yourself with that, which was great. But now I can whip one up quite quickly and easily. I just kind of have the framework and I've got the understanding of the KPIs and HR was a whole new world to me. As you know, I was a public health employee and then I went to being a sole trader. So it was a whole new world. So I just engaged a specialist to guide me through it. It was my strategy.
Path of least resistance, because there's a lot to it.
There is. And once I worked out how much there was to it, I thought, thank God I've just paid someone else to do this because I don't have the skills or the time to do that. I'll just pay someone else to do it.
Yeah. But imagine the sleep at night factor if you didn't have that stuff squared away.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And new team members have the onboarding process for team members has improved significantly in the 13 months that we've existed. And I've focused a lot more on the HR platform with that. And they've, you know, been very impressed as well and thought it was great.
Good.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, yes, that is very impressive. Yeah. So that's been good. But I suppose with something like HR, my philosophy would be to definitely I'm responsible and, you know, need to be part of it, but just engage a specialist to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's the financial bit. And we don't have to talk about the numbers. We just have to have deep breath. And who knew that, you know, people had to be productive and bills had to be paid. Well, of course we knew, but good learnings on that front as well.
Yep, incredible. I remember in about March last year, I asked a dancing mum at the front of a dance lesson that our daughters were in how to look up a profit and loss statement.
Good.
And now
takes a tribe.
Yep. And now I just underestimated that, but I'm absolutely loving the numbers and love, just really simplifying it and implementing it into our daily practice and our billable impact and, regular meetings with bookkeepers about how things are tracking, what we need to work on, that kind of stuff is.
It's very, very important to have cool cat skilled bookkeepers because that stuff can go so wrong so quick and then you sweating bullets detangling it and can take, ton of stress.
I've definitely made lots of mistakes, but one thing I did do well was engage the bookkeepers quite early and just pay an expert to do that.
Gather around, dear listeners, for a moment of sheer audio delight. You may have heard, but we love to chat with Allied Health business owners. We get inspired hearing about your aspirations, the challenges you face, the roadblocks that get in your way, and business realities. So we invite you to book a free power call with a Naker Consulting business specialist, regardless of where you're at in business. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed or overworked or overjoyed. We're here for you, and we'll meet you exactly where you are, judgment-free. It's okay to book a second or even a third call. We're always keen to hear all your news. Book a free power call with us today at naker.com.au/free-power-call. Let's get the convo ball rolling. Now it's time to get back to our regularly scheduled banter.
In the allied health business world, it's harder than you think to stay on top of everything you need to do to run a business whilst being fully present for your team and clients. If you struggle with this, you're not alone. Pretty much everybody feels this way. Some days you feel like you're crossing a decent task off just to be reminded that you then have three new tasks to take at their place. The to-do list feels like it never ends. It can be overwhelming doing it all on your own, and that is why we took it upon ourselves to reach out to help you out. We have created our monthly masterclasses so that you can join and connect with others, learn bite-sized business skills, and best of all, walk away from our masterclass with tasks ticked off your list. We can guarantee that each session will provide you with at the very least 5 gems that you can take and put into action right there and then. And trust us, as soon as you hop off our short and sweet session, you will want to take immediate action because that is the effect that Kathy Love and these masterclasses have. Each masterclass tackles a topic that has been niggling in the back of your mind and has moved further and further down your list. However, the sooner you nip this in the bud, the sooner you will free up your time and see the results in your business. Ready to nip your business woes in the bud and start taking practical action to maximize your results this year? Join one of our monthly masterclasses today.
So what are the sort of numbers that you look at across a week, across a month?
As in financial numbers?
Yeah, just business numbers, because there's more numbers than, the financials. What else do you kind of look at? Where does your eye go?
So I keep an eye on the intake of referrals. Mm. So just to make sure there's highs and lows in that. It's pretty consistently okay. There's a waiting list happening. Mm. It's not alarmingly concerning. But just to see where they're coming from, like what funding body and the geography of where they're coming from and those kind of things. I keep an eye on how the individual team members are tracking with their caseload and also their billable impact. So we've been monitoring that quite closely, and lots of support and education regarding that because that's been new to all of our team members. So I meet with the bookkeepers once a month to keep a track of the profit and loss statement, where's money going out, coming in. And then I've also been meeting with the budget guy from the bookkeeping service because I'm asking questions like, If I employ another experienced OT who's wanting to be paid a higher rate, how do I do that financially to be sensible and make it viable and profitable and those kind of things? So I love numbers. I've always had an interest in, investing and those kind of things. So I've loved that bit. I like and I've become a little bit of an Excel whiz, which I'm a little
Queen of the spreadsheet.
Yeah. oh, look, it's very basic, but my skills have improved.
Just got to work. It doesn't have to be complex to be meaningful and helpful to make it help make decisions.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I would say with my numbers, all of those numbers are brought to me. I don't collect those numbers. So that's been another good little thing I've had to, you know, outsource and get people to bring those numbers to me.
And then there's kind of numbers that sit across the team. Like you've got a wonderful team of OTs and customer support staff, but there's numbers kind of sitting under that as well. How have you kind of led those conversations about billable impact and making a difference?
Yep, that has been a challenge. Most of my team have a community health or public health background, so billable impact is kind of a new concept to us all, including me. And I didn't manage it well initially when we started in, you know, I didn't manage it well until about July, August 2021, to be really honest. That was a big error on my behalf. So what we've done is lots of education and support about the billable impact from all different levels, from, you know, the government levels to the community levels, families, participants and those kind of things, about how we need to bill for our high quality, great services. So all of those levels know what it takes, that it takes, you know, 15 hours to script a complex power wheelchair for a person and to do the funding application and those kind of things. So lots of education and support to the team, lots of forward planning. So we've been doing some monthly challenges, and this challenge in February, we've got Love What You Do for Valentine's theme. So basically the summary of the challenge is if everyone hits their billable target, so we've got an early graduate therapist who's recently started, so her target's a bit different to the rest of us. So if everyone hits their target, we're going to donate $300 to the Dylan Alcott Foundation.
Oh, love that project.
Yeah. So it's kind of a community-minded team building thing as well. And a little bit like we seem to respond to a bit of a challenge and love that idea of like, yeah, let's get it, let's smash it, and then let's make that donation and let's celebrate that.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great. I'm just visualizing the thermometer on the office wall of billable hours. Is that what you total up, creeping up?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So we've done, we did a charity-based one for a local charity in December for Christmas. So we've done a couple and they seem to work well. But just support and being really positive about it and making sure that people have got the tools and the systems so they can meet those targets. There's plenty of work. There's no concerns of work. It's the tools and the systems to provide efficient services.
Yeah, to get that flow and reduce the friction. And your team days have been running really well.
I love our team days. So we have a team day, this will only be our third one in the end of February, but we have a team day once a term, so it's basically half a day. And it's kind of big picture planning stuff. And we have, you know, have morning tea together, then we do about 3 or 4 hours worth of work, and then we have a nice lunch together, and then it's finished basically. So we really come up with an action list from that. And the action list from it was October last year. We did it in OT week to celebrate OT week together as well. So the October 2021 action list is up in the office in town, so that's you know, together we will, and we can nearly cross a few things, or we can cross a few things off that already.
Oh, that's very cool. So if you think back over the last year and a bit, is there anything you would have done differently?
yes, and I often think of that. But I've stopped thinking about that because I think, well, this is just where I am, and this is just what's happened. What I would have done, Kathy, if I had a crystal ball, I would have got admin support in for me when I was a sole trader. That would have helped me kind of think more systems, or, you know, better communication, because one of the underlying factors that have impacted me in the last 12 months is that because I've been a sole trader, it's all been in my head. So getting all of these great things out of my head has been time consuming and hard work, to be honest. So what I would have done is I would have got admin support. And there's probably a billion things I would have done differently, but I've just had to live and learn and move on with it. And I think I found out really quickly I needed a lot of support, like bookkeeping, HR, coaching, those kind of things. I really needed that, and accounting and but there's a billion things I would do differently. But it is what it is. And I've just
No regrets.
No, onboarding team members, I really did that horrendously bad in the beginning. I was just like,
tell them.
Yeah, we did have a glass of wine. Like it was just really low-key.
Well, that is cash. That is very cash.
Super cash. Yeah.
I've interviewed over a glass of wine. I don't know that I've onboarded over a glass of wine. Perhaps I have.
I didn't. Yeah. My experience as an employee, I've never experienced a great onboarding system. So I had no value.
You don't know what you don't know. Yeah.
So now we really prioritise that and we have a great onboarding curriculum and exactly. I didn't know what I didn't know, so I couldn't have done it really. A chat over a glass of wine was my best strategy in February 2021.
Well, for retention, they're still with you, so all is not lost.
Correct. They are still with me. So I wasn't that bad, but we actually laugh now at, we just giggle as a team. Like, remember Lou, when you said this? And, you know, it's just funny to reflect. And you think, gosh, that was only 12 months ago I said that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does like you mentioned at the start, you're still doing OT work, but you're systemizing like crazy and you're working with all sorts of other advisors and the like. What does your week look like? Like, how does it all fit in?
Yeah.
Or have you got some magical 8-day week?
No.
You got the same 24/7 like all the other mere mortals?
Yes. So what I try and do is 3 days clinical and 2 days business is what I try and do. So Tuesdays are my business day. I don't respond. I don't write any reports. I don't see any clients. And you wouldn't believe it, but I have Tuesdays really systemized as to what I do.
That static diary.
Yeah. Oh,
well, we're crashing today. Never mind.
Yes. No, that's okay. That's okay. This is important. So I try and do one kind of focused strategy, one task that's going to make a big impact. Yeah. And then finance is big on the list and team support is big on the list. And they're kind of, if I can do those three things on my Tuesday, that's a good business day.
Yeah.
I try and link in with coaching. I try and listen to something inspirational, like a podcast or something like that. So that's what I try and do. It doesn't work perfectly all the time, but all our team meetings are on Wednesdays. So any meeting is Wednesdays are our team office meeting day. So that's, we've just systemized the week.
Yeah. Oh, look, I'm a big fan of the static default diary, as you know. You've got to block it to rock it. You've got to book appointments with yourself. You know, you need that hour and a half on finances. You need that hour on stakeholder referrers, marketing. You need that hour to develop, you know, the next bunch of systems or what have you. So is it Tuesday, Wednesday that are your business-facing and team-facing days?
Yep. And then Thursday I kind of have report writing day. Friday I do outreach, so go and see clients. And Mondays are kind of a catch-up, lots of little follow-up clinical jobs. Generally that's Monday. Yeah. So that's my week works generally well like that. And I quite like it. It's quite clear in my head what I'm doing.
Do you think your clinical CEO ratio will change up across the rest of this year?
Yes, I still do love the clinical work.
I know you do.
I really do. And I know that I need to reduce my clinical load to keep on going with what we're doing because it's not sustainable what I'm doing. I still do love it. But in years to come, in a few years, I will probably have a very, very low clinical load.
What do you think the next couple of years are going to look like?
Yeah, well, hopefully we have some more awesome team members come on board. That would be wonderful. And I will reduce my clinical load and do kind of more clinical governance, business planning and development, bigger picture stuff, all with help from our wonderfully newly appointed practice manager. So I'm thinking the practice management role will help as well significantly with business development and allow me to continue to do a bit of clinical stuff for the foreseeable future. I haven't taken on a new client for 12 months. It's just the people that we work with are very disabled and need a lot of input. And and I had a ridiculously high caseload end of 2022 because I had this idea I needed to drum up work.
The end of 2020?
Sorry, yes, end of 2020,
Doing all of the hours for all of the people.
Yeah.
What's cool about what you've done, there's a lot of cool about what you've done, but you've built out, you've just started systemizing and bringing systems thinking right across the team so that the practice manager has got something to work with. But a lot of people kind of hesitate. They feel as though they're not ready to have any customer service support, or they're not ready to have a practice manager because they haven't got all of the systems. So you've sort of brought a PM in at a point where you're, you know, on track and making progress, but you haven't got it all done. And the longer you wait to bring in customer service or reception staff, admin staff, practice manager, the more work there is and the steeper the onboarding and the steeper the load for them as well.
I think the kind of support crew for the work that we do is crucial. I don't think we could do what we could do without, especially, well, our customer support has been around since the day go. And it's crucial to what we do.
So, coming off the back of COVID, I was just reading an article this morning about how it's starting to be endemic rather than pandemic. What are your kind of thoughts for, you know, perhaps the rest of 22 in this post-COVID environment?
COVID has definitely impacted things for us. Our caseload is very report heavy, so a pro of that is you can work at home easily during a COVID pandemic and still be doing, you know,
catch up.
Yeah, exactly right. Just
get up to where you're meant to be.
Yes, exactly. So that's definitely been a pro. I mean, there's cons of that as well, being a report heavy caseload. But I think COVID, you know, I've bought laptops with screens instead of desktops. So if we need to work from home, it's quite easy. We've done lots of, and this is still developing, of trying, you know, lots of screening before doing home visits and trying to minimise time directly with clients and those kind of things. But I'm thinking, and also supporting the teams through this stressful time, you know, people, and supporting our participants and reassuring them that we're doing everything we can for our safety and their safety. And so lots of kind of leadership and support has been required during COVID as well. But I think I'm hoping it will be business as usual with caution and consideration of COVID context. That's what I'm aiming for and working for, but I haven't, you know, I've definitely put some things in place of buying laptops instead of desktops. And,
I guess from the conversations that I have with business owners, it's kind of, they've developed a lot of really good team leadership, business management skills on the back of COVID that they may not have kind of got to perhaps as quickly or in such an elaborate manner. And I think, you know, most businesses I speak with, they'll come into contact with, they've got a risk matrix happening now. They take infection control so much more seriously than perhaps they might have 2 years ago. They're thinking about flexibility for their teams and that work can happen in lots of different ways in lots of different locations as well. So there is some silver lining to COVID in terms of strengthening business skills, team safety. What are your kind of key takeaways from it?
Yeah, for sure. I would definitely agree with that, that, you know, that the safety risk and putting those things in place has been, you know, it's been challenging as well. You've kind of had to change and react, and but also just, I think, just coming back to the basics, people were really scared and anxious, and you just had to be human and go, it's okay. Like, you know, let's just down tools, stay at home and work out what we're going to do tomorrow was kind of the initial response. We haven't been hit terribly with COVID in, I mean, we've definitely had exposure and those kind of things, but nothing in comparison to Sydney and Melbourne. And one thing we haven't done is embrace the telehealth, which I know a lot of other private practice providers, we haven't done that. And I suppose the need for that hasn't been as high with our report heavy caseload. And it's, I still find it really hard to imagine how to script a wheelchair or home mods. I mean, I know people are doing it, but we haven't got there yet. Because
you think
we
you
haven't.
Will?
I don't know. Well, we haven't had to, and I kind of react to a need kind of thing, and we haven't had to. Also, there's logistical problems of internet reception. A lot of places we see don't have internet reception, but it's just not available on the farm that we go to. So there's some logistics around that as well.
Yeah, and we were talking before recording about, you know, just IT knowledge and access to hardware and the apps and the systems and so on and so forth. It's really highlighted the great, what was it, the digital divide, who has and who hasn't got the goods and the skill set for it as well.
Actually, that's probably one thing I wish I had, a greater just knack and natural skill for IT. I really wish I was a IT whiz then. But then I thought, no, I don't need that. I'll just employ someone. I'll employ someone that can do it.
Yeah, that's the approach we've taken in our business. Is if we or when we identify a project that exceeds our capability and probably our capacity as well, we go out to market and find people that we really want to work with and people who have got that skill set, but people who also want to come in and work with us to do the work together and develop the systems around it and kind of leave that legacy there for us to kind of fly with. It's not always helpful for us to kind of bring in, well, I don't think we ever have, bring in consultants that just tell us what to do. We actually like that collaboration and that learning. And in some ways we can strengthen their work, but they leave us with great infrastructure so that we're kind of good to go on the other side. So that could be well your experience with IT going forward.
Yeah. Oh, I also quickly learnt that I can't be everything, and I never for a moment tried to be everything. I just thought, right, I need all of these people around me to help and do this, because I will stuff up the bookkeeping. You know, I would make mistakes of things that I'm not great at. So,
takes a village. Takes a village.
It does.
So what would be kind of your parting words of wisdom for perhaps for business owners that are sitting there in solopreneur land who are thinking, will I, won't I? Well, I won't. I trip the wire and build the team and build the name.
Yeah. Yep. I think what my, I mean, I would just have a go. I would just, so what I listen to a lot of different types of podcasts, and I love listening to other people's stories and inspirational stories of what people have done and pinching their ideas and implementing it into our team and our practices. So I would just embrace it and go with it, get the support crew around you, get really great people around you and be, in my experience, be committed to work quite hard for a period of time to get it really well set up so it doesn't depend on you long term.
Give it a go.
I've really, really loved it. And I have also found my new, a couple of years ago I was trying to think of a different career path. I was thinking, you know, I don't know, I was a bit done with OT, and but I've definitely found my new passion for OT, and this is my perfect ride for the foreseeable future, I think.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I couldn't think of anything. And, you know, three kids in tow, and I was like, oh, I'll just keep doing this. But now I've really, really, really found my, and I wanted to be passionate because I was always really passionate, and I've lost the passion. And maybe that was motherhood. Maybe that was, I don't know, the stage of life or something. But now I've found my passion again with supporting the team and creating great systems and just loving it. So I would embrace it, give it a go, get the support crew around, listen to inspirational people. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your adventure.
Oh, that's okay. Thanks for having me. I hope that's been helpful.
Oh, for sure. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. For the show notes and other resources, our webinar replays, they're all available over on naker.com.au. And if you're loving what you're listening to, please subscribe. We don't want you to miss out on a single thing. And if you want others to get the same benefit that you've had from listening into these episodes, please share this episode and any of the others forward to any of your other allied health business colleagues. And we are totally here for you. Don't forget for a moment that you can jump on in and book that power call, and we can see how we can help you get the best of business done. Looking forward to seeing you there.